Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. Today is Saturday, and we're in the season after Epiphany. This is the season where we follow Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, from his baptism until his transfiguration, when Jesus turns to head towards the cross, and we enter the season of Lent. We begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son. A reading from Matthew chapter 5, beginning this morning at verse 31. Jesus said to the disciples, "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." Jesus' teaching on the commandments continues with the teaching about the eighth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness." This is a commandment to tell the truth and always stay away from gossip, slander, and all kinds of evil talk. It is a commandment to guard our neighbor's reputation. You might think that the remedy to false witness is to ground our words in an oath, to swear the truth on what is holy, and then to be bound to keep that word. But Jesus disagrees. Jesus instructs his disciples to act with such integrity so that our simple yes communicates and makes our word and intention to do it a reality. And the same thing with our simple no. Simple no is enough to refuse or to deny or negate. We do not need to exaggerate it. There is more to swearing an oath, however, than just keeping our word. We often swear an oath or take a vow as part of a bargain we make with God, or to show an intense and deep devotion to God for a period of time. In Acts, we read of a group of very zealous men who took a vow, shaved their head, and vowed that they would not rest or be released from this vow until they had killed the Apostle Paul. Paul himself makes a similar kind of vow, showing his intention before the Lord to take the offering to Jerusalem, a vow that leads Paul into all kinds of trouble. But perhaps the one that we are most prone to make is our vow that comes as a bargain with God in prayer. It says something like, "Lord, if you do this, I promise, I vow to do this in return." We hear these prayers in our life and at various places in the Bible as well. What Jesus seems to be teaching is a life of simple obedience to God and God's commandment, a simple yes to the covenant, a no to evil, a yes to the covenant that God made with us, and then within this covenant to pray, as we find in other places in Scripture, Lord, we are your servants. Deal with us according to your loving kindness. Lord, we are your servants. We wait for you and for the good that you bring. Lord, do good for us as you have done in the past. On this we trust and put our faith in you. It is a promise always conditioned with and tempered with this condition that if God wills, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Other than that, we do not make promises outside of our power to fulfill. We see to it that in their simple everyday life, we keep our word. Is it any wonder then that Jesus' teaching about divorce falls between a word about lust and a word about remaining faithful to our promises? Jesus' teaching on the commandments continue throughout the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. These are given to us to reveal God's intentions to the world, to curb evil, to root it out deep within us by convicting of our sin and then drawing us in humility closer to Christ in confession so that we can find God's mercy, forgiveness, and peace that comes to us through Jesus' presence, through Jesus' death and resurrection. This is also a teaching that we find that guides our way into living in the world so that we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so these commandments should be before us, part of our thinking, part of our guidance, part of the way we move forward. Not, of course, from our own goodness or for the sake of our own goodness, but from the righteousness of God in Christ that keeps us in fellowship with God and one another. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, and you, child, shall be called prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation, by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, for the gift of relationship with others. For who else? For what else are we thankful this morning? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, for those who govern the nations of the world, for people in countries ravaged by strife or warfare, for all who work for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save this earth from carelessness and destruction. For who else, for what else do we pray this morning? We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all harm and danger. We ask that you would also protect us today from sin and all evil, so that our life and our actions may please you. Into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all that is ours. Let your holy angels be with us, so that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.